Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with a man whose last name rhymes with my first name. He laughed. He's not supposed to talk yet. Oh, God. All right, anyway, a laugh is a really emphatic way to communicate happiness or awkwardness or any other emotion under the sun. But this man to my left, Adam Mott, he's accomplished some cool shit. And we're allowed to say expletives on this show, so fuck yeah. I'm honored that he's here. We've met a few times in person, but this is our first business interaction. So this is really sweet. The next few weeks on Waldman's Words are going to be with a bunch of other badass motherfuckers. We've got Eric German, who is the attorney for Black Veil Brides, Asking Alexandria, The Rex, a whole bunch of other bands. And I actually have yet to have an attorney on this show. I've had a bunch of managers and label people and Mike Fishkin on this show. But there's other people that I'm trying to incorporate into this learning experience. And I learn a lot when I ask people questions. And I hope that you learn a lot from Mott, which rhymes with Scott and a lot and pot. Anyway, we live in Los Angeles. So after Eric German, we have, drumroll please, I believe Shane Told from the band Silverstein. But I'm actually not going to be talking about Silverstein as much as his podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome, because I'm sure he's spoken about that band so many times, and I love that band. I really do. I think that they consistently put out good content, but I want to talk to another dude about podcasts. I think that that would be really cool, and I hope that for him it's not the same questions of, yo, when did you form? Do you still love discovering the waterfront? No. I'll ask that too. But I want it to be a podcast to podcast thing, even though I don't consider working at Adobe a podcast. I consider it live, awesome radio. And anyway, so after that, we've got Mike Mowry, who has his own company that does many different things called Outer Loop. And I guess I want to learn about Outer Loop. I want to learn about Maryland. So I don't know much about Maryland. I do know that my ex is from a suburb of Baltimore, and I'll leave it at that. And then we've got one more guest after that. Emily, please chime in. Who's the next guest after Mike Mowry?
Corey Rutschland.
Corey Rutschland, the reason why I asked you to chime in is that's the reason why I know you.
It's true. Green Light Theory.
The last band I played in. Sorry, wait. I want you to go. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I just said that's how we met, if it wasn't for Green Light Theory. If it wasn't for Corey Rutschland.
You didn't have to interrupt me and yell at me. Like, I don't appreciate that. I've tried to treat you with the utmost respect. By the way, Emily Burke is tied for first place with Ross Roby for my favorite people in music. But maybe after this interview with Adam rhyming with Scott, he will be number one. I don't know. So stick around for Waldman's Words every single Tuesday night, 5 p.m. our time on the Pacific Coast. I stopped saying PST because that's bullshit. It's PT. And where Emily goes to school in Drexel, 8 o'clock ET. So listen to these ads, listen to this music, and I hope that you enjoy this broadcast because we booked it a few months ago. So it's been in the works for a while. So thank you. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Adam Mott. Before Adam says something either brilliant or not brilliant, I just want to say, Emily Burke, I'm so happy you're here. I know that you're not here all summer long. Actually, sorry, I know you are here all summer long. I know you're not here all year long, and I appreciate you coming by and doing this.
I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy to be doing this.
I can totally tell from that. I appreciate you. Oh, I appreciate you.
That's sincere. It's just my voice. I'm not being sarcastic, I swear.
I swear it's not resting bitch face for my voice. Anyway.
I don't know how I can follow up that.
You can't. You might as well stop.
I might as well just go right now, but thank you.
The door is to my left. All kidding aside, we've got Adam Mott, who currently manages the Color Morale. We'll get to that. But how did we meet? I want to hear about this, even though I know the answer.
I'm trying to remember, actually. Do we meet through Mike Zimmer? No.
We did not. We met because I was pitching you an artist to work with you that I don't even manage anymore.
Yes, you did. That's right. I forgot about that.
I'll never forget.
I forgot who the artist was in that stuff. But yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that was a long... That was about 5-6 months ago?
It was definitely less than a year ago. Yeah. I met you in the Beechwood Canyon area at that restaurant in the parking lot.
Oaks. My yes. favorite coffee shop.
You know, I'd never eaten that, whatever it was a sandwich that had, what's the term for it? Maybe you know the answer. It's a Vietnamese sandwich.
Banh mi.
Yes. 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 Thank you. You finished my
sentence.
Sandwiches. Anyway, so wow. I had a really good banh mi sandwich, but usually when I'm in that vicinity, I eat at Bird's.
Yes.
And then if I want to get a coffee or a tea, I go there. But that food was good.
Fantastic. It's a great little coffee shop.
Could you walk there?
I'd walk there all the time. I walk there almost every day.
Well, here's the thing. I could walk there from where I live, but it'd be a long one.
Yes. Me, it's about 7 minutes.
Oh, that's dope.
I take the dog there every time.
Well, you didn't when I was with you.
No, I couldn't that time because I wanted to focus on you.
Well, I appreciate that. And that would have been a different hot dog.
Yes.
So we met there, and I'll tell you this. What I really appreciated about Adam was that he was willing to sit down and eat with me and talk with me because I'm a relatively new manager. I've been in the game for like 2 years change, and you didn't have to do that. And so, no, you really didn't. And so that's I guess one of my stances on this industry is that no matter how big or small, like neither one of us is Irving Azoff, you know, but people do read their emails.
Absolutely.
And I was just honored and flattered, and here's a fist bump, not a fist pound. I learned who taught us not to use the word fist pound.
Megan Thompson.
That's right.
Killed it. Told us not to use fist pound.
I try not to use that anymore because there are only a few things I like to pound.
Next segment.
Next segment. And one of them is iron. So anyway, so #awkward. No, so fist bump or fist touch. You can't see me, but I just fist bumped myself. So why me? Why did you meet with me? Like, what did I do or what didn't I do? Like, I guarantee you, I personally try to talk to as many people, or if someone's reaching out to me, I try to help, but I can't meet with everyone and I can't even talk to everyone. So like, what about that email got me there? Because this is for someone who's listening in Idaho.
Okay.
So I really want to know, like, why?
I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the tone of your email and, you know, the thought process into the email as well. Sometimes if you get an email from a band or someone who's trying to get in the industry or whoever, and they just literally go like, here's my band, check it out, and like they don't give you a link or something, like go search for it on YouTube.
So first impressions
mean a lot. And I mean, I'll actually segue that into here's a really good story about that.
Please do. This is your show.
Okay, this is my show.
I mean, I might rudely interrupt you because I'm a huge dick, but no, in all seriousness, the people listening to this show, yes, it is Waldman's Words, and yes, I would say maybe I'm 52% of the show,
mm-hmm.
but I want you to be a hard 48.
Perfect.
That's what she said.
Well, I love listening to Howard Stern, so I'll go with that.
Is that because he's a Long Island Jew?
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
But going to the stories of that is, I remember once I was having lunch with a promoter from Texas, and I was asking him, like, you know, hey, who are some of the bands that are out there? And, like, you know, I should be looking at, like, because, you know, I like to go to promoters a lot of the time because you can see hard tickets and merchandise with sales, which mean a lot to me more than just a record sale or Spotify playlist or numbers.
Just for the record, Spotify playlists I know are the current industry standard, but just like radio and just like certain shows, certain favors can be pulled to get certain playlists. And at the end of the day, the most important thing, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and I think you're going to echo this, mm-hmm. is actual people connecting and purchasing tickets.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Fist bump.
Absolutely. But we're not doing that anymore, the fist bumps. But
damn it.
But it was funny. The story comes back to and comes in all in the circle was, you know, I was talking with him. He told me about this band called Power Trip.
Who are awesome.
And they were having a lot of success in Dallas and some other markets. And, you know, the promoter went up to me and said, hey, like, you should really talk to this guys. And I was like, okay, cool then. Like,
talk to this guys under the guise of representation or just get to know them?
Talk to the band.
Okay.
And so he goes, do you mind if I hook you up with their email chain? So we did. And Riley from the band, and I think I still have that email, or he has it still, he sent me this email, and it was about maybe 2 paragraphs long. And it just made me laugh. And I was like, holy shit, like, that's awesome. And I just, like, you know, I liked the band and the music I thought was good, but his personality really stuck out to me. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a phone call with that guy. And then that led through.
He earned his call.
He did. because he put effort into it and it was worthwhile. He's like, I know you're like a big manager or this, or you work for a big company. Mm-hmm. And at the time, and I was just like, you know what? That sounds awesome. So I got on the phone with him and we talked for an hour, which led to me managing the band. It took about 4 months of talking with them and managing the band, and they've had a crazy amount of success.
I see it in your eyes. It's sincere, his love for the band and for their progress. And I can tell you this, I am not as big of a manager as Adam. I'm not. And I get solicitations all the time. And the best way to get written off is to leave a shitty first impression.
Well, yeah. I mean, you only have so much time in the day. You get so many emails in the day or texts or phone calls. So you only have so much time in the day to really focus on. When someone gets your attention, you're like, shit. Like, I'm going to reach out to them. So, like, you're going back to your question was, with your email.
It's all
like,
circular.
It's always it's circular.
No fist pound or bump.
But, you know, that was one thing that, you know, if it's a good email and someone puts a well thought in there, then I'll start a conversation with them and try it a couple times. And if I feel like it's going somewhere and there's some potential, then, yeah, I'll sit down with them and have a conversation, a coffee or a phone call.
Upon me
or something like that. So that's kind of my – I kind of do like a little testing at the same time. And I think most people do that.
A vetting process.
Yeah, but it's regardless. It doesn't mean it's music. It's anything.
Well, it's any career. My wife is actually an HR person.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me this is employers are looking for reasons not to hire you.
Absolutely.
So if you actually take the time to do a resume, which – could take you 5 minutes, could take you 5 hours, could take you 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a typo on that resume, why the fuck would I hire you for something that you should edit like I am printing a Bible in a hotel?
Sure, absolutely.
And so when I get emails like or Facebook messages or anything, it's like,
I hate Facebook messages.
I know you do. And I actually have gotten work because of Facebook, but it's definitely least or less preferable than an email. I will say that on record.
Listen, I don't mind. I guess I am quiet on social media.
You're a phantom.
I do like it. I do make a comment once in a while. But at the same time, I don't like it when people reach out to me through business on Facebook.
Right.
Because I'm like, listen, if you have something like that, do your homework, find my email. You can find it on a lot
of
spots.
Or ask people.
Or ask people around and stuff like that. And put two and two together. I think it's lazy.
Well, I'll tell you this. I agree with you. I'd say 95%. Because
mm-hmm.
I earn the bulk of my living managing bands.
Sure.
And sometimes these bands don't have a business contact on any of their pages.
Yep.
So I have actually gotten work because I have Facebook messages. But I agree with you. I would so much – like if someone – let's just say someone gets my phone number and texts me a link. Or if someone sends me a link on Facebook to check out, 10 times out of 10 I say, please email me that link. Because texts and Facebook messages get lost in the shuffle, whereas email for me
–
and you might do this differently. I don't open the email until I'm ready to handle it. Or if I'm not ready to handle it, I'll open it and then re-forward it to myself. That's my own personal organization.
Yeah, everybody has a different way. Yeah. Stuff like that. But yeah, like usually with my clients when it comes to that stuff, I do text is more like, hey, quick stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, Meet me at 7, or we're going to do a phone call at this time. Is everybody cool with that? And then the real most important stuff goes to email. Because
exactly.
That's my organization.
And paper trail.
Yeah, exactly, too, as well. Well, there's a paper trail still with, you know, text message.
There is, but I don't think it's – I mean, I don't know. I mean, technically right now, anything could be photoshopped and doctored.
Sure.
But I still feel – and maybe this is the guy who is paranoid who worked at a law firm for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 times out of 10, an email is more reliable than a text.
Absolutely.
So I can tell you this because I know that we're imperfect people, with the exception of Emily in this room who is perfect.
Can't live up to this.
Yeah.
You're only going to let us down. So – the thing is that we've all made mistakes and we've all said the wrong thing or have done the wrong thing or have even made shitty first impressions with someone. It just happens.
Sure.
So all we can do is try to learn from it. So if you're listening to this and you have sent an email where you're like, yo, I'm trying to succeed, and I would just look at that email and be like, yeah, I'm trying to not to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've gotten business emails with that or with 83 songs. You know, that's just not an effective – send your best song.
Yeah.
And it's just – so all we can do is learn from it. So that's – I mean, that's why we take history courses in high school and above.
I will also say, too, when you're doing your first email to somebody, don't make it like 16 paragraphs.
No.
Make it short to the point, like a paragraph.
a paragraph. Yeah, no, 3 to 5 sentences, if that.
If that, and give me your best stuff like that, because I don't have time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
It's not just like, well, I have time for that, but it's just like, I'm not going to read through all this, like, you know, stuff like that. I'm going to skim through it and try to get the highlights and stuff like that. Just give me, that will show me how serious you are and how much you know your brand or your, like, yourself or whatever you're trying to pitch.
An elevator pitch. Yeah. Like, basically,
quick,
right now.
To the point.
Well, that's what she said. But basically, if you have 30 seconds in an elevator with Mark Zuckerberg, he doesn't want to hear your life story.
Nope.
I mean, he, chances are, doesn't even want to hear you.
Absolutely.
So if you are trying to get him, who is, I think, in the top 5 richest people in the world, and probably because of that, in the top 5 most powerful people in the world, if you're trying to get him in line with something, it's like, show me the money.
Well, yeah, give it to me quick. Like, you know what I mean? Just give me, like, your highlight points and stuff like that, so I know that I have an idea who you are. And if I'm really interested, I'll do some research on you as well.
Well, that's you. Some people just don't even
Care about it.
Exactly, and I agree with you.
That. Like, you're going to do your research, because I have to do my research.
Tentative and carefully.
Well, yeah. You want to do, like, you know, if you're looking to, like, hire somebody or looking to a band, and you're going to do your homework on them. You know what I mean? Like, that person, like, you know, I'll go check their social media. I'll take a look at it and see what they're like and how they express themselves online. You know, if it's looking for another manager to work with me or looking at a band in some respects, you know, I'll look at that and see how they're doing on their social media, how they're presenting themselves, how they're presenting the brand, how they're promoting their tours, their merch, everything.
If they're a machine before you.
Yeah, then you're just trying to take that machine and take it to the next level. Same with somebody who's trying to get into the industry, maybe as a manager who wants to work with me and stuff like that. I'm interested in seeing how they portray themselves.
Publicist, booking agent, label, everything.
Well, yeah, just like all that stuff. So you want to see how they do that, and I want to see how they work. And, you know, I want to make sure that if I'm going to work with you or you're going to work together with me, either with my company or with one of my clients, I'm going to look at all your stuff and make sure that I want you, you're on the right page as I am and my clients.
Well, you're a papa bear with your stuff because at the end of the day, you have your own company.
Mm-hmm.
So every success is yours. Mm-hmm. And as you know, being a manager, it's a thankless job.
Absolutely.
So every failure is yours too. It's like if you have your own apartment and you have guests over and there's dirty dishes or if there's a mess, at the end of the day, it's your fucking mess.
Absolutely.
So what's really cool is I'm really enjoying this episode and I'll tell you why. It's been 13 minutes and 57 seconds, and we haven't even gotten into, like, the outline, which is awesome, because we've just been kind of Howard Sterning it,
yep.
Which I like, but I would argue that it's informative to at least one person, and I'm pointing to her. Emily, if you had to describe what just happened in 5 words, it could be a sentence or 5 adjectives,
yeah.
What would it be?
This has been really informative.
Oh my fucking god! Did you see why she's the best?
Nice job.
Yeah. You realize how quick that was?
5 words.
Yeah. No, he would have been like,
cool,
careful, cool, tentative, collected, Mott. He would have closed it with his name because every time we talk, all he does is goes Mott out like Ryan Seacrest. I'm kidding. So I guess we got to the only question I've asked, like, other than our dialogue that has been tangentially awesome, was how did we meet? So fuck the narcissism hour. How, you're from Canada.
Originally from Toronto, Ontario.
So tell me about your musical upbringing there, because when I think of Canada, I think of Silverstein.
Oh,
I think of Sum 41.
Wow.
I think of Avril Lavigne. I think of Nickelback. I think of Mariana's Trench.
It's funny, like the age difference. So people think, you know, usually my age
Rush.
Group. Rush. Triumph. Yes.
Nardwuar.
See? I forgot about him.
But we're only a few years apart.
Yes.
So I guess it's weird, but like I'd say in the current American lexicon, you know what the first thing that would come to mind for Canada would be for me?
Neil Young.
Nope. Trudeau.
Justin. Oh, see, there's a difference. Pierre.
But you're not that, again, you're not that, I mean, the age difference between you and I, which I will not say on the air, is far smaller than the age difference between Emily.
Absolutely.
And so we're, I don't know if we were old enough to be in high school together, but definitely elementary school together, you know, so like Emily wasn't. What year were you born, just so I can out you?
1997.
Yeah. You realize I had my fucking bar mitzvah before you were born? I was a man by Jewish law before you existed.
I think I almost graduated.
He actually graduated med school before then and had 14 kids.
But going to your question, I was in a band. So I was in a band from 16 years old.
I want to hear before that.
Before that?
Yeah, I actually want to hear what got you into that because, like, I grew up in a household where they played
the Beatles, the Who.
Me too.
And wow, same.
Yeah.
And I actually, the first act I connected with was Weird Al. That was the very first.
Makes sense now with your personality.
What are you talking about?
Same thing. Like my parents had my parents had a lot of vinyl. And
which is coming back, guys.
Absolutely. I had a lot of vinyl from like the Rolling Stones to...
Who are they?
I don't know. There's some old band. The Rolling Stones to Bruce Springsteen to... I'm trying to think right now.
Well, tell me about Canadian bands that you connected with at a young age, besides Rush.
It wasn't a lot. It was a lot of international stuff until, you know, till my mom got remarried and I had a brother. We got moved together. And I was about 11 years old, and he started getting me into, like, some of the Canadian bands, like, Triumph, uh-huh.
The Insult Comic Dog?
No.
Okay. I know who they are.
Like, Triumph, and, like, he got me into Rush, more like
was
Led
Anvil
Zeppelin,
Canadian?
Stuff like that.
Was
Anvil was Canadian.
Do I get a little point?
Baby.
A little point?
I'll give you that.
Thank you. It's very hard. I'm constantly seeking out Amat's approval every day.
But, yeah, and he got me to play guitar, too, when I was young, like 11 or 12, too, my brother. And
that's young. I started 13.
Yeah.
Respect.
We started really young, and I started playing that stuff. So I started getting to all kinds of, like, rock music, and it helped having a brother, too, because he gave me the cool stuff and then took me to my concerts.
He was your gateway drug.
Absolutely. And, like, my first concert, actually, was in 1984, just to age.
Wait, you said 84?
Yeah, 84.
Was it the Van Halen tour?
No, it was the Born in the USA tour. With.
So you're an East Coast... New Jersey guy.
Well,
you know what I mean?
A Toronto kid, but yeah, absolutely.
I know established that, but
I used to wear the white t-shirt and the blue jeans.
Tucked in?
Yeah, I did that when I was a kid, and I was 9 or 10 years old, and I was, you know, had the bandana on my back pocket. And
my roommate, when I first moved here, has a picture of him wearing the Thriller jacket.
Nice.
So I he can relate.
That was a big record for me, too.
It's a big record for the world. It's the most successful album of all time.
I remember waking up as a kid, and I had a... little bubble hockey table or something
you
like that.
You want to be starting something?
And that record, my mom had it for me when I woke up.
Quick question.
That was amazing.
For you, okay. Can you name two songs on Thriller? And I gave you a hint by saying two songs on Thriller.
I was about to say Thriller.
Okay.
And I know the song you sang, but I don't
No, the first song I sang, I'd say, is maybe the sixth biggest hit on that record. Come on. So it rhymes with Millie Bean. It also rhymes with
Billie
Red.
Jean?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to say right now, I was never the biggest Michael Jackson fan. He is great, and I am a huge fan.
He is great at music, and we can leave it at that.
He's the greatest pop star of all time.
He's the greatest pop star of all time.
Absolutely.
He is the reason why Justin Timberlake exists. He is the reason why Bruno Mars exists. He is the reason... No one can dance and sing like Michael Jackson, and obviously we do not need to get political about the rest of this. I would not let him babysit my kids, regardless of whether he's dead, even when he was alive. So anyway,
yes.
I don't have kids. So we have, I'd say, about 30 more seconds before we transition. So were you in, because when I think of you, mm-hmm. aside from the fact that you're very nice, I think of the fact that you're associated with a lot of heavy bands.
Correct.
So were you in any heavy bands growing up?
Yeah, well, my band was more, I was in a high school band, and then I went to Fanshawe College. Which is a big music school in Canada.
I've never heard of it. I've heard of McGill.
It's like almost like the Berkeley or MIT and stuff like that here in Canada.
Like MIT?
Yeah, like it was stuff for production.
You mean music, not Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Are you talking about
music.
MI?
Yeah.
Don't say MIT.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
MIT is like, holy shit, like because you basically said to me, I am fucking brilliant.
No, I'm not. But it was a really hard school to get in for music. So like, uh-huh. our teacher was a guy named Jack Richardson, uh-huh. and he did the Guess Who records, Alice Cooper.
Oh.
So he had a lot of success. So we were more in the music program then, and then I moved out of that.
When you were 18, you went there?
I went there 19. Yeah.
Okay.
We graduated 19.
Oh, that's right. Because you guys say grade 9,
we have
grade
10. 13 as well.
Oh, wrap this quickly before we go to the next segment.
Mm-hmm. So we went there, I went to school, and then I started playing in bands again, 21, 22, and got signed a couple of times. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, I had a lot of success in Canada.
I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to try. Just so you guys know, I fist bumped him.
And then I started getting into management by 28.
Wow. Well, I guess I hate the phrase paying your dues, but you paid your dues.
Yeah, I started late.
You grinded.
Yeah, I did.
Dude, I started management... 2 years ago, I'm 36.
Yeah, like
that's late.
Yeah, I started really late in the management business, but you know, I think I learned a lot of things along the way, which gave me a little bit of more of an upper hand, I think. And you know, it took me when I was 28. It took me a while for this guy to convince me. There was a company called Bernie Breen Entertainment, and they were really big. They were doing like the Tragically Hip in Canada and stuff like that.
Is something Dowd or
Gord Downie?
See?
And then
he's sick though, I think, right?
Yeah, he's has cancer.
Oh God. All right, let's end on that note. So we're gonna make the next segment a tad more uplifting. Emily, one adjective, not one sentence, to describe what just happened.
What just happened?
What just happened, as in maybe the awkward moment about cancer, or as in the entire 21 minutes of awkwardness. Whatever you want to say.
Great.
See? Good answer.
So great.
Stick around for Waldman's Words, second half of the segment, where we will talk to Mr. Adam Rhymes with Scott about, I guess, what has happened with his career since he started at 28, and I'm having fun.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Waldman's Words. I am not Scott.
Stop intercepting me. Stop intercepting.
Wow.
Why'd you do that?
This is supposed to be my moment, and I'm going to take that time.
For the record, I actually asked Emily to do that, and I planned in my head to interrupt her.
Yeah.
And I did. So I'm going to fist bump myself. And now back to Emily. No, not yet. Emily.
Yeah.
Give whatever intro you want to give, and I promise not to interrupt you. Yes.
All right. Well, welcome back. I already said my piece. We're here with Adam Mott, which rhymes with Scott, and that is going to be the theme for the day and this segment, rhyming.
So, Adam, if you can name one adjective to describe Emily, what would it be?
Wonderful.
See, this is such a fucking positive show. Great answer. You know what adjective I would do to describe Emily?
Do I want to? Also a good answer.
Flatulent noises. So now let's actually get back to seriousness. So you started from the bottom, now we hear, Drake, Canada. And anyway, you started being a quote-unquote suit at 28.
Yep.
Tell me about, I guess, trials, tribulations, or something specific that led you to this interview today.
I don't know. There's been so many stories.
I thought there was only one. It's hard, right?
There's been so many ups and downs.
But right that's what we were talking about sending an email or sending a pitch. We all have that. So if you, let's just say you were trying to work with Irving Azoff.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in an elevator with him. What would you say?
Well, I did have a little bit of experience with that. I used to work with the Rick Sales Entertainment Group for a while. And, you know, it was how I got there, and it was a great couple of years. I learned a shitload of stuff and information about how...
You see it in his eyes, by the way. Just so you know, the eyes don't lie. And the way he's talking about shitload of information, like literally his eyes... You can't see me, I know this, but I'm opening my fingers and trying to showcase that the eyes are popping the fuck out.
But, you know, it was... it really helped me with him, with going with Rick and stuff like that. It was more like I got introduced with it, and it was just like I had my pitch. Like, you know, like these were my clients at the time.
This Who were they?
At the time, it was Wee Cayman's Romans. I had The Color Morale and Upon a Burning Body.
Okay. So really, really mild-mannered hipster music at Coachella.
Yes, exactly. But I kind of knew when we had a – I mean, our first conversation was 7 hours on the phone.
Whoa. Yeah, wait, what time did you start?
We started at 4 or 5 and then ended about 12.
Dude,
yeah,
that's like the first best date ever.
Yeah, and it was, but we just didn't talk about music. We talked about life. We talked about family, and that's why we thought it was a really good, you know, connection there.
It was together. Human connection,
absolutely. And I think that's really important too to work with somebody. Is that yes, there's your numbers and your projections when it comes to management and your clients that you work with and what your goals are, but at the same time, you have to have that human connection with somebody that you feel you're going to feel comfortable with and where you feel like you can grow with.
Well, on that point, I actually said this in front of Emily on the phone today that's going to echo it, which you might be like, oh, yeah, is I would rather manage, because right now I'd say like I'm a low or mid-level manager, like I'm definitely not high level, and I would rather work with clients that I love and trust as people and commission, you know, a low tier of money and then work with a huge client that I'm constantly walking on eggshells with that I don't trust that I'm
life's
commissioning six or seven. Exactly.
Life's too short with that
stuff. But you know what I'm saying?
And,
you agree?
And I've worked with some big clients and I've worked with some smaller clients. And, you know, one thing I've come, at least with starting with my company now, is I want to work with people that I at least have some sort of a relationship that I like or I believe in or see the same vision with them mm-hmm. and get through it. But it's not all about money anymore. It was for a while for me, like when I was in my 30s and stuff like that. It was like, how can I make the most money?
How are you in your 30s if you're 21?
But, you know, it took me a while to figure out, like, going, okay.
Life's too fucking short.
It is. And it's like, you know, I've worked with a bunch of great bands and some shitty ones at the same time. And
shitty people you're talking about.
Yes.
Same.
Yeah. And, you know, you have your ups and downs. But at the same time, I learned a lot from each situation and how to deal and manage an artist.
Well, that's called wisdom.
Well, I think so. I would hope
so. It is. Well, you are older than me. Mm-hmm. So I would, despite being 21, you're older than me because I'm 18. You acquire wisdom through experience and time.
Absolutely.
That is, I think, the definition of it. So, like, just because someone is older, like, I could argue that Emily is the smartest person in this room. But as far as wisdom goes, the only way to acquire it is to literally live more days. So you have had more experiences.
And more experiences, exactly. And I think that's one thing. You know, if this is, you know, we're talking about a show of getting advice about the industry, is the one thing I will say about to anybody who's out listening out there or whoever, if it's one
all
person.
All 25,000, 50,000, or three.
A three.
It's one of those.
It's, you know, the one thing I will suggest is you can never do, no job's too small. And that's one thing that bothers me about the
Kevin Lyman's cleaning shit up while he's running Warped Tour. Well, he's literally picking up papers.
I remember I had an assistant once when I was about, like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and it was we were in a parking lot, you know, for the Mayhem Festival about three, four years ago.
Heavy festival, guys.
And then, you know, the band had their bus, and they were like, hey, we needed to get some, like, booze or something like that, some cigarettes or whatever they needed stuff. And they had their bus, so they couldn't just go to a store. So I went to my assistant, and I went up to him, and I was like, hey, listen, like, you know, here's my credit card. Just go buy some stuff for us. Get a couple cases of beer, whatever, and stuff like that. And he's like, are you kidding me? And it's like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, no, I'm dead serious on this one. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just go get it, and I'll, you know, don't
worry. Wait, quick question. Were you paying this assistant?
Yes.
And then he's supposed to do what you pay him for.
Yeah, and then he, like, you know, the next day he was just like, you know, I don't know if it was really cool that you asked me to do that. And then I was just like, you know what, dude, like, that's your job, and you should not feel like anything was too small of a job for you. And when I was at Rick Sales, and he went up to me and said, hey, like, Kerry King needs a bottle of Jägermeister.
Slayer.
Yeah, so from Slayer, when they needed a bottle of Jägermeister, I'd be like, yeah, I'll be back in 2 seconds. And that's when I was at my age now and with 12 years experience. So, like, no job's too small, and you have to.
As long as you're not condescending about it, which I know you weren't. It's not like you're like, yo, bitch, can you get me this? It's like, hey, can you please take care of this for me?
Yeah, and that's what I think that with the younger generations, I think that you need to do all those small jobs.
They're so entitled.
And I think that's a major problem with the younger
generation. Not you.
Not you in general. But I think a lot of that, you know, that younger generation, like, you know, gets out of college and are like, I need to be making $100,000 a year.
Taylor Swift should open for me.
And, like, you know, it's like you have to pay your dues like everybody else, and you need to learn more. You can't expect to, like, everybody, like, now.
It's because they're all coddled.
Well, yeah, and there's that. But everybody has a cell phone or, you know, a laptop, and they're like, I'm a manager. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you know, what experiences? You don't know. You need to learn how to deal. Or a producer as well. Like,
he rolled his eyes. He agrees.
It's just like you need to really grow and eat shit first for a bit and learn your mistakes. Like, you know, when I started at 28 as a manager, there were so many things. Yes, I played in a band, and we kind of co-managed it with a manager and learned all these things, but we still needed to know how to deal with.
You mean being humble?
Well, being humble, but it's also when you're working as a manager for a band or working with a band, it's like you're almost like a therapist.
No, you're a doctor, lawyer, big brother, everything. Father, bitch, sometimes everything, and the thing is at the end of the day, they're not you, or they might be, but they're your employer. You can choose to terminate an agreement, but they can choose to fire you.
Yeah.
So it's a sales job.
Well, yeah, you're like, you know, you're everything to them, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that's the one thing is you have to be on the same page with them, and I don't look at it as an employer-employee relationship. I look at it as a team. I look at it as more like...
I do too, but I'm being really super technical regarding contracts and
sure,
stuff.
Yeah. You have your contracts different, but when you get that contract and you file it away and you pretty much don't look at it for the next 3 or 4 years.
Or ever,
right? So you're like the coach and you want to put it in football terms.
I agree with you.
I'm like the coach and like that, like, you know, my singer is my quarterback and my guitar player is my running back and, you know, and so on and so mm-hmm. on. So you work as a team and stuff like that. So, and you all have to be on the same page when moving forward, because your job as a manager is to really keep the train moving forward at all time and making sure that it's on the tracks and it doesn't get derailed, and everybody at the same time knows what's going on. I like these train
metaphors.
Well, it's absolutely what happened. Because you need to put your, make sure your label, your publicist, your
you're the liaison merch, with literally everyone.
Everybody. And you have to make sure that they know what's going on with the band at all times. At all times. Every little piece of information.
Yep.
So you can go there, so you can go get that bigger interview or go for that radio spot at BBC or
be a billboard.
Or be like a billboard thing or whatever. You need to just keep that information flowing at all
times. And manage their expectations. That's what I say is...
And then there's the internal fights within the band. You put five people in a small room together for 6 months... Of course they're going
to... You put five people in the same room for 1 hour.
Look, I mean, look how hard it is to have a girlfriend. I mean, or a wife.
I have a wife.
Or like, you know what it is to have a wife. Imagine you have five of them.
Yep. Well, this is...
Or
this
four
is,
of them. That's a lot of people and a lot of different, you know...
Egos.
And
the wife is literally calling me now, you fortuitous person, but I will not take it. But, I've never taken a call in the air.
But that's one of the things. Like, you have all these different personalities and egos and, you know, just the way different ways of thinking.
Well, let me tell you something. This is an analogy, because we're going to keep with the analogy, and then I just want to talk about Thursday because I'm selfish. But basically, this is an analogy I have, and I said this to Emily. And okay, so right now, there's three of us in a room right now, and Emily walks in wearing an OP shirt, and we all can read.
Mm-hmm.
All of us can read and digest information the same way.
Sure.
We're also all fluent in the English language.
Sure.
So we can all... communicate that shirt says OP on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk into the room, and let's just pretend Fish is here recording us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what managing a band is like. Adam Mott looks at the shirt and says, cool OP shirt. Scott Waldman looks at the shirt and says, sick Quicksilver shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Fish is in the corner shitting himself. Mm-hmm. That's what managing a band is like.
Yeah, everybody's got different ways of seeing things. And that's what makes them an artist, too, because that makes them special. So you don't want just a normal 9-to-5
company. No.
That's not going to get you that next level.
And also excitement. I mean, this is not the career for everyone. And anyone who's listening, here's my take on life. Do what you want with your life. It can end in 4 minutes.
Sure. And just because I said a line once and people loved it. Just because you like music doesn't mean you need to be in the music industry.
Oh, my God. I think that there's so many people who... are fans, and that's awesome. It's great to connect with something, but it's not for everyone. Just like every career isn't for everyone. I worked at a law firm for 5.5 years. Within the first week, I determined I didn't want to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for everyone. And what he said, what Adam Mott said about, you know, no job is too small. If you want to break into this industry and you want to be a manager, try to intern for a manager.
Yep.
Do the low-level grunt stuff, because that's going to only make you a stronger manager eventually.
I teach you, like, you know, like, I'm looking for an intern once in a while, but I'm really picky.
I told you I could help you.
You haven't given me the
name. No. Oh, let's, again, no accountability in this industry.
but the thing is, like, you know, if you're doing that so you can learn certain stuff, like how to do some social media posts and then asking questions, like, why did you do that with the band? Like, I'll let you listen to... You don't have to be on the phone call, but listen, like, me on a phone call. And that stuff, like, really will help, actually.
Emily, can you please just tell Adam Mott what I ask you to do when you're at my... Well, my apartment is my office, and mm-hmm. now I'm moving to a different one. Mm-hmm. Tell Adam exactly one of your things that you do at work.
I listen in to a lot of phone calls with multiple different people. They always know that I'm listening.
I always give the disclaimer. Yeah. I give the disclaimer every time, because there's nothing worse when you're on speaker with someone and the person on the other end doesn't know that.
Yes.
So and 10 times out of 10, I don't do this with, like, let's just say I was having a phone call with you. I wouldn't do that with you.
Sure.
Right, but if it's one of my client calls,
mm-hmm.
I always say it. And be straight with me and, like, not and joke if you want, but do you feel that you learn a lot from doing that?
Yeah, just to be straight up for a second, I've interned with you for over a year now,
mm-hmm.
As of this month, and it helps.
What just happened today, though?
I started getting paid, so it pays to stick around.
Literally.
It helps so much just to hear how people in the industry talk to each other and how to approach other people and how to kind of be confident with your words. And I feel like just kind of listening to that over and over and then you see yourself starting to use language that you didn't know
you learned. The kids who say fuck or shit at a young age are saying that because they hear their parents saying it.
Sure.
And I'm not saying I'm your parent, but I want you to say this. What's your other internship? Because I'm so happy with that.
I intern over at Epitaph Records in publicity and legal. And I honestly probably wouldn't be able to do it if I didn't intern with
Scott. All right, no more compliments. So anyway, thank you for saying that, because Epitaph is my favorite label on the planet. And I will go on record as saying that. That's how I heard of NOFX, Rancid, Bad Religion, bands that changed my life.
Huge.
Ginormous. Right. So we have literally like 5 more minutes.
That's
and
it?
I know, okay. It time flies when you're miserable. Yes. So can you tell me a story about Thursday?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. I mean, I had a lot of fun with those guys. They're a great band. Had a lot, like, you know, I was working as like their day-to-day guy for a while, and then, you know, kind of started co-managing for a while in the
When you say day-to-day, we're because just so people are listening, I know what that means, but can you explain what that means?
There was, like, you know, I joined a company called The Syndicate a long time ago, and there was a guy named The Rev who was their manager. And
then, not the drummer from Avenged Sevenfold.
Not the drummer from the...
Rest in Peace.
And then there was Jackie Pedraza, who now manages Bless the Fall and some other bands. And she was, like, day-to-day there, too. So, like, me and her did a lot of, like, you know, working on the... She did it first, and then I came in there and started helping out. It was more, and then slowly started taking more responsibilities on for the band. But, like, you know, making sure buses were booked, you know, flights were being booked for international tours and stuff like that.
Which,
you know,
one could argue is grunt work for the manager.
Yeah.
And you took it head on.
We did, yeah. And so we had a lot of fun with that, and we had a lot of crazy stories. It's funny, now, you know, me and Jackie were just talking about that a couple of days ago, because... I have The Color Morale, and she has...
Who's on Fearless with Bless the Fall.
Yes, and they're going out with Our Last Night in Europe.
Dude, Our Last Night, I just saw them at Warped main stage. The crowd was insane.
Yeah, they're doing great.
Insane.
So we were talking about, because we're putting the stuff together for that tour, and I'm like, Jackie, I don't want... Remember the time when it was Rise Against headlining Thursday Poison the Well tour. And
you also worked with Poison the Well.
Yes, I managed them for many, many years. And... So we were putting the tour together, and we had to make sure that, you know, the guys were flights, and it was an international. It was, I think it started in Germany, and then went all the way
Germany
to Italy.
Germany still likes the rock music, man.
They do. It's great. And they went to Italy and all the way to the UK. And the bus was supposed to meet the band in Germany, and I think it was Germany. No, the bus company was from Germany. Pick up the back line in Germany, pick up the band in London, and then the tour was starting. Mm-hmm. And
how long was the tour?
That was about 3-4 weeks.
So straight up, completely international, like
completely
on that.
International.
Okay.
And I remember getting a phone call from Ryan and from Andrew from Ryan from Poison the Well and Andrew from Thursday almost at the same time. Going, they got off the plane, got on the bus, and then started looking at, got to the venue and looked at the back line, and half of it wasn't there.
Because just so people are listening. It's very difficult with equipment. You have to rent equipment when you're abroad.
Absolutely.
You can't exactly fly with a Marshall stack unless you're Motley Crue with your own fucking plane.
Yes, exactly. So we usually rent gear for, like, you know, in London or wherever it was, or Germany. And all the gear wasn't there, and we're like, shit, like, what do we do? So me and Jackie were, like, looking all over the place. We're like, how did it not get picked up? The bus driver didn't do a checklist on it.
Wait, what year was this? Just so I have a frame of reference. Because this is before everything was easily Googleable.
Probably about 2011 or 12.
Okay, so then never mind. Everything was easy.
Yeah, it was Googleable.
Sorry, I fucked up.
So it was a tough one, and we were just like searching for gear and trying to get the gear. So that was a big pain in the ass with those guys.
Well, that's a sick story, bro.
Yeah.
Those
are fun stuff. But great stories. I mean, saw the band headlining huge festivals and having lots of late nights and stuff like that. It was great, and I was very fortunate to be able to work with that band and a lot of the other bands that I've worked with in the past and in the future.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about the future in a second, but it's funny that you mentioned that, because I played a bunch of dates of Warped in 2006,
mm-hmm.
and two of the five biggest bands that year were Rise Against, Just As Ready to Fall, mm-hmm. was coming out, and Thursday, actually, I would argue that they were... I'd say AFI was the biggest band that year. Like, at the time, Miss Murder was the single, and Under Oath had just had the number two record in the country. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Thursday was, like, number three or four, because every single time they won the 5 minutes extra to their set list. Mm-hmm. Every single time.
Oh, the 5 minutes, I forgot.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And so I actually really thought that that was a really cool idea, mm-hmm. and I hope they do that again. I can't tell someone how to run their business, but Thursday, for me, as a kid who was from the East Coast, who went to school in the Midwest.
Sure.
I remember seeing them at Clutch Cargo's on the Full Collapse tour. And I still have my Full Collapse t-shirt. And they're just a band that I really, really connected with. So that's why.
Great band, great guys.
I mean, I don't know them. They totally do. But they're an honest and sincere band. And I think they really care about each note, each word, each interaction with fans.
Absolutely. And Jeff, that's a big thing for Jeff Rickley.
I can tell that.
That's why I respected working with him so much.
I've only exchanged a few emails with him, nothing major. Great. But I can tell you that it's definitely not war all the time with me.
Okay.
It's not a city by light divided either. Mm-hmm. It's not a full call. Okay, anyway, so we have a few more minutes. I won't do any more shitty Thursday metaphors. Adam, if you can just quickly go down your current roster, who you're working with as of today in 2017, give them shout-outs and how to... Because you are definitely a social media phantom. And so at the end of the day, how can they check out these bands?
They can check it out on social media. Power Trip is one of my favorite ones.
Power Trip TX.
Right now. Power Trip TX, I guess, would be that one. They're going on tour. They do the Excess Obituary Tour. Then they go to the Loudwire Awards. And then they're doing the Cannibal Corpse tour.
Whoa, in the fall. That's sick! Support.
And then they go out with Hatebreed in Europe. And then
this is huge for the heavy music world. I just want you to know that, like Jamie Josta, like that's amazing.
So we're doing that one, and then I have a band called the Beta Machine, which is two of the guys from Perfect Circle, with Jeff and Matt, and they're going to be.
I saw Perfect Circle open for Nine Inch Nails.
Wow, and they're going to be on tour with Perfect Circle this fall. They start on the 23rd in Colorado.
I'm going to write a social media status tomorrow. You're talking about all this stuff.
So that should be a fun tour for them. They're going to be out with that, and they're finishing off their record. They're going to have a new record out next year. There's the Color Morale, who just got home from a headline tour.
Desolate Divine, right?
Yep, and did very, very well. And then they're going out with Our Last Night, which we talked about in Bless the Fall in the fall, and then they're going to write a new record. There's another band called... Altitudes and Attitudes, which is Dave Elveson from Megadeth and Frankie Bello from Anthrax.
So you happen to work with a bunch of people who used to play in other bands that have achieved... You know what I mean. that have played or currently play in big, big bands, and you're, I guess, rebranding? Is that the word? Or launching? Or, what is it?
They came with me this project, and I was just like, why do you want me to manage you? And they're just like, we like you.
Because you're awesome.
Well, thank you.
And if I were doing music full time, I'd want you to manage me.
Ooh.
How do you like that?
Very good. And then I guess the last one, and not least, is I have a producer named Jay Rustin. He just finished off a little while ago, but he did the Stone Sour record, and which was a good top 10 record. And then he did Anthrax. Shit, what else has he done? He's done a lot. So... and then Closure as well is a little baby band that we're starting to work with.
They're a great band.
Yeah, and they just sort of putting them together.
I'm listening.
They're doing really well right now. They're starting to do some writing, and there's another band, but I can't tell you.
No. The other band is called Rush. He officially just started working with Rush.
Yes.
See, I just showed him my phone wherein I purchased Devil in the Night for 99 cents. You're welcome.
Thank you.
So. Anyway, thank you so much, Adam Mott, for doing Waldman's Words. Emily, close this out. Who are the next four guests?
Oh.
Ha ha.
I bet you I can get it.
Eric.
Eric, what is Eric's last name?
German.
Good. And that's a country he spoke about.
Yeah. Yes. Eric German, Shane Told, Mike.
It rhymes with Bowery.
Maori.
Yes.
And then Corey Richland.
You're the fucking shit.
Yeah.
I appreciate both of you guys so very much. Adam, I'm sure... you'll hear a dad joke from me very soon.
Sure.
I'm not going to do a fist bump. I'm going to shake your hand.
That's a man.
Thank you. Well, wow. Way to attack my manhood after I compliment you. I appreciate it. Anyway, stick around for Waldman's Words every single week, 5 o'clock. our time on the Pacific Coast, 8 o'clock, the Eastern Seaboard. And thank you, Idobe. Fish is usually in the room recording this, but he has literally bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. And Mott, one word to describe this experience.
Fantastic and fun.
That's three.
That's all you're going to get.
No, you actually gave me more.
Oh, okay. It was a great experience.
Thank you.
Fun.
One word that I would have is informative.
Oh, good for you. That's a good one. Thank you. I like that. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Emily Burke?
Yeah.
I love you.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. That's such a shitty response. Bye, guys.